That's a great song. Please take your seats. Okay. Linda, you okay? You can say no even now. You can. And I'll ignore you. Would you like to come and just share your thought? You know, the second most fearful thing is the fear of death. Second. The first most fearful thing in any survey of what people are afraid of is public speaking. It takes real courage for me to... No. it takes real courage for people to get up. So thank you, Linda.
It's not the getting up and coming out is the problem. It's actually having to think while I'm standing here because my mind goes blank. Yeah, yeah. No, it's okay. My mind will still go blank. Yeah, so I didn't have much of a thought, that, you know, really. But I did read a few scriptures, and you read the both of them this morning from Isaiah and from Luke. But there was a part of Luke that did speak to me. At the announcement of his birth, the angels praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." And, you know, I thought about that, and I was thinking, the Prince of Peace, what did that mean? You know, I thought, what does it mean to be the Prince of Peace? And then I realised it was God had a plan to reconcile men to himself, and he used Jesus to bring about peace between God and us. And I thought, oh my gosh, that sort of struck me again. I thought, how wonderful, you know, that we've got peace with God because of Jesus. And then I woke up this morning and I was in my head, I was singing this old song. I was thinking of it. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. Most probably it's an Eileen song. He is our peace. He is our peace. So I thought it was going over and over in my head as I was up this morning. And I thought, why have I got a banging headache, a sore throat, stomach turning over? I thought, I got to come to church this morning. No peace. And I thought, I'm singing, he is my peace. And I haven't got any peace at all. And I thought, right, stop praying. And I thought, you know, you can lose your peace if you're frightened of something. And I thought, you know, he's promised me his peace. And, you know, that's a promise. He's done it. He's made a way for me to walk in peace. That's all I had to do is to give him the fear and say, you are my peace. And I think that's what he was telling me to say to everybody. When there's something going on, we can go through bad storms in life, isn't it? You know, or just a little thing like this for me this morning. He is my peace.
Come on, that's great. That's really helpful. Really helpful. It's just normal Christianity. That's it. Thank you. Okay, then.
Well, when Ellen texted me, she was like, "Oh, do you want to bring a word on peace?" I was like, "Oh, God has a sense of humor because I have no peace this week. Lots of anxiety." So I started praying, "Lord, you know, what do you want me to share today about peace?" And I'll be preaching to myself, I guess, as well. And so I just I've been reading through the New Testament this season, and I'm in Ephesians right now. And the next passage that I was reading was Ephesians 2, which talks about peace, which was perfect because I didn't have to come up with it myself. It's just here. Just some context on the book of Ephesians. The church was changing. The church was predominantly a Jewish church because Jesus was Jewish. And Paul wrote the book of Ephesians to this Gentile church, which just means not Jewish. And there was a lot of animosity between the two groups. And the Jews were saying, you have to become Jewish before you can follow Jesus and become a Christian. And Paul is writing and saying, no, you don't have to be religious to follow Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So that's the context of this. So I'm going to start in chapter 2, Ephesians 2, verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. He's writing this to the non-Jewish church. But now in Christ, You who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. It's a lot of words, but I think what the Lord wants to say this morning is, we live in a world that is getting more and more polarized, more and more. There's a lot of division, isn't there? There's a lot of differing ideas, differing thoughts. You know, you can look at social media and the algorithm will feed you whatever you're afraid of or whatever gets you going, and you keep watching. And you know, we can have lots of differing opinions and differing thoughts. And that is exactly how the church was then. You know, you had the Jews and you had people who were very different. And Paul is preaching to them. He's building you together as one. And I think that the opposite to peace would be disunity, wouldn't it? It's war, isn't it? The opposite to peace. And so I think God wants to say this morning, like, we are all part of one body. And if you feel excluded or you are excluding, then that's the opposite to peace. He wants us to have that peace. And we can't have peace without God's peace, without having his community around us and being part of the body. So I think that's what he wants to say. So, you know, the opposite of peace is being excluded, no hope, far off, strangers, foreigners, animosity. But he is our peace, and he brings us in. We're now citizens. We're part of a household. We're steady on Jesus, anchored on Jesus, the cornerstone of our building. And we are part of a process of being built together. So we're not all perfect at it. We're not all perfect at it. But we're in this process together of being built into something beautiful, his building, his household, his body.
That's great. Fantastic. We're in process. We're being built together. We're being knitted together. We're being worked on. We're being encouraged. We're being challenged. And all the time, God is saying, listen, my peace is your peace. But this is my thought. The word peace in Hebrew, in Hebrew is shalom. Peace. Shalom. Like a greeting. Peace. Peace to you, peace to you. But it's a much more powerful word than just peace. It has other meanings. It means wholeness. Wholeness, something that has integrity. There is no flaw in it. It is perfect. It's perfect. And the peace of God only comes when we have peace with God. We need to have peace with God to experience the peace of God. Let me just read to you what I've already read to you, Luke 2, and then I'm going to take you to Isaiah 9. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. So he's bringing good news. The good news is going to be what? The Savior Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Peace to those with God, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased with. That's interesting. Does that mean if God isn't pleased with me, there's no peace? Yeah, it does. It does. So how do I get God to be pleased with me? Do I perform the things that I should do? Do I read a Bible? Do I pray? Do I go to church? Is that what pleases God? No. No, it isn't. It is not what pleases God. What pleases God is that you recognize that his son was sent on a mission to save your life so that you could spend eternity with him. And he's pleased with you when you recognize his son and what he's done for you, dying on a cross, not just being born, but actually being born with a mission to actually go to the cross and then go through death and hell, conquering Satan and sin, and being raised to new life, seated at the right hand of the Father, so that you, in recognizing that sacrifice for your life, God says, "Oh, at last, Bill, he's mine. I'm pleased he made that decision. I'm pleased he came to that point of recognizing and laying down his stubbornness and picking up my will for his life." God is pleased with that. And suddenly there is a peace that comes that passes all understanding. I don't understand. How can I keep doing what I'm doing when all around me it seems like chaos? All around me it's challenge and difficulty, disappointment and heartache. And yet I have peace. It's because God has given me a peace, his peace, his peace. The peace of God comes to those who have peace with God. Peace with God grants us hope. You see, when I have peace with God, suddenly I have hope. I have a purpose. I begin to choose to live my life in a way that I try to bring him glory. What's the best choice I can make in this set of circumstances, Jesus? How can you help me in this challenging scenario? Well, just trust me. Rest. Don't strive. Stretch out. Take risks. Take steps of faith, Bill. And I begin to grow and I begin to understand that more and more his heart for me is to live in this place of peace in challenging places. Not just calm and tranquil places where it's Shangri-La. I can just sit down and sip a margarita. Don't think I've ever had one of those. But actually, I can be in the fiercest battle and have peace because it comes from him. And I hope that my life brings him glory. Hope that the life we live on earth is just the beginning of our forever life with God. That hope, wow, wow. My life isn't just here until I pass away and then end up in some grave somewhere. My life is eternal. And this is a season of it. And it begins to change how I have peace in circumstances. Because the enemy can't take my life. God's in charge of my life. The enemy will try and rob me. He'll try and disappoint me. But God's for me. And if God's for me, who can be against me? And it begins to give you a peace in the storm. It begins to give you a peace when it actually beggars belief. How do you cope? How are you handling yourself so calmly in these circumstances when all around you it's chaos? Well, because I'm able to rest assured. I rest assured. I'm able to rest. It might be blowing a hooligan outside, but I can rest assured. Assured of what? Assured of him making a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. I can rest assured. To rest assured just means to be certain. To be certain. To be somebody who is fully confident that what they are resting in is true. And then when you rest and you're certain, you're assured because it's true. And to rest assured is also to declare, well, it's going to happen. I'm trusting God that when I pray for the sick, things will change. I'm resting assured that when I stand in faith and I serve, that God will see my servant heart and will use me to make other people's lives different and better, hopefully. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. This letter is one of my favorite letters to read, but this is just a tiny part of it. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. May God give you more grace and more peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to grow. And as you grow, as you take steps of faith, I don't know whether I can do this. I don't know whether I can pray for the sick. I don't know whether I can actually do this. I don't know whether I can share my testimony. I don't know whether I can get up and bring a thought to a group of people in the room that all love me, all like me, are all cheering for me and thanking God that you're there and they're not there. They're saying, Lord, use them, bless them, rather than me. But as you step out, God says, I'll give you the peace to cope. I'll give you the grace to grow. I just love that thought, that our sins are forgiven because of Jesus, that he already paid a price for them, and only then can we have peace with God. And that gives me hope. I start there. And then I go, let me tell you about my faith. Let me tell you why I don't swear. Let me tell you why I spend where I go on Sundays. Let me tell you about how I manage my family, how I manage my marriage, how I cope with my finances. Let me tell you. It's rooted in this. A friend of mine said to me, Bill, where'd you get your wisdom? He's not a believer. Well, he is now, but he wasn't when he asked me this question. Where'd you get your wisdom? And I said, it's just the Bible filtered through Bill. That's all it is. And when we act like that, God gives us more and more grace, more and more peace to keep growing, to keep growing, to keep growing. Romans 4, 5. People are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Listen, it's not your performance that makes God smile on you. All right? It's because you have chosen to accept that Jesus died in your stead so that your sins can be forgiven. And then Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have now been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We have peace with God because of what God has done, Jesus has done. Let me take you to Isaiah 9. Remember that peace in Scripture is often referring to wholeness. If you read what I'm going to read to you now from the NLT, I'll read it in the Message as well because you'll see what it does. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. This is Isaiah 9, verse 6 following. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. I love that. It's almost like it's underscored. Listen, let me tell you, saying, Everlasting Father, He's mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, His government and its peace will never end. And God is underlining it with, "This is, I'm passionately committed to this happening. I'm passionately committed to this being fulfilled." Let me read it to you in the Message. Oh, I've got to find it here because it's all blurred into one. Here we go. "For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over running the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness." Why does the Message translate Prince of Peace to Prince of Wholeness? Because the word peace means wholeness, completely together. And when your life is together in God, doesn't mean perfect. It means together in God. He makes us whole in Him. He in us, us in Him. There is a wholeness to our life that enables us to live wholeheartedly for Him. There will be no limits to the wholeness He brings. He'll rule. Oh, I don't need to read anymore. There will be no limits to the wholeness that He brings. And here's another favorite of mine from Scripture. John writing in his first letter. So it's 1 John 4, and I'm reading 9 and 10. "God showed us how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." When we build our foundation on that truth, peace is our portion. Wholeness is ours. Wholeness is ours. There will be a stability in our lives. Even when the storms rage and confusion stalks us, we have to do exactly what Linda said, cry out and just stand on the peace. Understand, as Caitlin said, that He is making us whole, making us one, bringing us together, brick by brick, whole brick to whole brick. It's very interesting that the word peace or shalom was used of bricks that had no cracks in them. They were shalom bricks to be built with. They were perfect bricks. I just find those little details really interesting. It doesn't mean that all your imperfections disappear. It means in God's sight, you're perfect. You're forgiven. You're loved. And He will fit you in to His family perfectly. And you will find peace. And it will be for His glory. So this Christmas time, take time to think about Him. To think about what He's done for you. And just say thank you. Just to begin to honor Him and trust Him. Because He sent His Son, the Prince of Peace, to be your peace, to steady you, to be your steady keel, to hold you when you need holding, to encourage you when you need encouraging, to actually challenge you and shape you when you need challenging and shaping. And I'm looking at myself more than you. But this Christmas, make a plan to trust Him more than you've ever trusted Him. And He will be pleased, not because of what you do, but because of who you are in Christ. Forgiven, loved, cherished, valued, whole. So Father, I thank You. I thank You that we are forgiven, that we are loved, that You are truly the Prince of Peace. And You give us a peace that does pass all understanding. It's a peace that the world doesn't understand. It's not just the absence of war, but it's the presence of You, Jesus. Lord, and I pray that your peace would break out across this world. Where there is enmity and challenge, Lord, bring peace. Lord, in Israel, where they need your peace, I pray, God, that you would give the leaders of the warring factions, Lord, wisdom to stop, and that your peace would break out in places all around the globe where men are destroying men. Lord, come, we pray. We need you, Jesus. We need your peace to break out, and help us to be peace givers as we minister to people through this church's ministry to the community, to the hungry and the hurting. Lord, I pray that they would find peace because they've encountered you through the people that work here. Lord, I pray, Father, for the work that the church is doing across this community, that people who are struggling with no peace would find peace, that they would find hope in you, Jesus, and that their world would steady, and that your peace that passes their understanding would overwhelm them. Lord, let your kingdom come, please. And be glorified, Jesus, through us. Amen.